Well, welcome, guys, to the King's Men. We've only just begun conference call. This is a call. The hope here is to rally men, to strengthen and build them up, you know, to call them to the fight against sexual temptation, perversion, immorality of all kinds, to support one another, to be an inspiration to one another, so that we can join forces in our daily struggle, our daily walk with Christ, in hopes of building up our families, building up our societies, our parish communities, and the like. And so there's a sort of a big, broad scope there. But in reality, I find it very helpful to be amongst like-minded men, because I myself struggle greatly in pornography addiction. I grew up with it. And so for me, it's a daily battle. And so I know there's a lot of men out there just like me. This call is meant to be an inspiration, rallying, you know, those men together, supporting one another. So, again, I have muted all the calls, and there will be a way for you to unmute the calls. But the purpose behind that is so that when we get through this first section of the call, there's as little background noise as possible, so it's easier for everybody to hear the material. But once you we get into the Q&A session, all you have to do to unmute yourself is hit *6 on your phone, and you will be unmuted. The call is being recorded, so you will be able to listen to it after, and we will offer it as a free download in MP3 format on the website at kingsmen.us, as well as on my site at catholichack.com and on Facebook, I'm sure. Now, on the call tonight is myself, of course, Joe McClain. Some of you know me, some of you do not. I am the Catholic Hack, as I'm affectionately referred to on the internet. My website is catholichack.com. I co-host I produce a radio show every week called Behold the Man. It airs on about 9 stations through 9 countries, including 2 stations here in the U.S., as well as I put it out as a podcast. I blog, I write articles. I'm also the director and conference director of a ministry called the Fullness of Truth Catholic Evangelization Ministries, based here in Houston. We put on Catholic family conferences. So that's me in a nutshell. And as I said before, I grew up in pornography addiction, so I speak to a lot of men on that particular topic of sexual integrity. Now, Mark Halk is also on the call with us tonight, prayerfully. Hopefully he's joined us. Mark, if you're on the call, if you forgot how to unmute, it's just *6. But Mark Halk is the co-founder of the King's Men. He is a nationally known speaker and champion of true masculine spirituality, action, and formation. I'm very excited to be working with Mark in that regard. Dave DiNuzzo is the founder of TrueManhood.com and the newest member of the King's Men crew, and he will be sharing with us tonight the vision of the King's Men, what he hopes to accomplish to bring about a resurgence of excitement in men's ministry throughout the country, especially as we form new men's groups under the King's Men banner. So in a nutshell, that's what we're doing tonight. Now let's go ahead and get started and try to keep us on track as best we can with an opening prayer. Mark, are you on the call yet?
Joe, I'm here. Thank you.
All right, Mark. I'm hoping that you'll open us up in prayer.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. Heavenly Father, well, let's begin all good things. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to come together as men on this conference call. Thank you for Joe McClain and his willingness to share his gifts and talents with us. We pray for your anointing on each one of us this night, that all of us will be emptied of anything that is not of you, so that we can receive what we need to receive this night, and the Holy Spirit will speak through the airwaves, into our homes, into our cars, wherever we're talking on this phone call tonight, and we just ask the Holy Spirit to descend upon us, and we ask that through Mary's intercession. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that.
Welcome.
All right, man, I think I will start us off tonight and then go quickly into Mark's material. But what I want to talk to you about, guys, is about choosing to fight. Because in essence, gentlemen, there is no plan B. God doesn't have a backup plan to send somebody when you have failed to do your part in participating with the graces that God has given you through the sacraments, especially as it pertains to your salvation and the salvation of those to whom he has entrusted into your care, namely your wives, your children. How about your siblings, your parents, your coworkers, your neighbors, all those around you? There is no plan B. God is counting on you. And so if you choose not to fight, if you choose to succumb to all of the attacks of the devil, and you fail on the field of battle and the spiritual combat, then you are leaving those whom God has entrusted to you open and vulnerable to attack and devastation from Satan. Now, that sounds like pretty extravagant, but it's true. And so we have to make a choice. Now, a long time ago, there lived a young girl in a town in the northern part of Israel. And God sent an angel to her, and she had to choose. Now, the angel refers to her with a title, Kekare Tomene, the full of grace. It's not just a description, it's a title. She is Theotokos. She is the virgin that God fashioned from the fall of man, just looking forward to that day when redemption would come to mankind through the only begotten. But the virgin had to bear this only begotten into the world in order for that to happen. And before he could ever go to the cross and die for us, first he had to be born of the virgin. And this young girl is faced with this choice. What does she choose? Does she choose to say, no, that's just too much, I can't deal with that, go find someone else? God didn't have an army of young virgins on standby waiting to become the Kekare Tomene. No, she was the Kekare Tomene. There is no plan B. But she said, fiat, let it be done to me according to thy word, to thy will. She said yes to God. She chose to participate. She chose to be used as the instrument of the Holy Spirit to bring about our redemption. We have the same choice, brothers in Christ. We must choose. Now, I served in the Marine Corps back in the early 90s, so I learned just a few things about combat tactics, about what to do when someone shoots at you. I share this in my testimony when I speak to men a lot, and I won't go into that here, but just to sum it up, okay? We find ourselves every single day under the gun. We find ourselves being attacked continually by Satan. Whatever it's, if it's through temptations, if it's through cowardice, if it's through laziness, I mean, you name it. For me personally, as I shared at the beginning of the call, I grew up addicted to pornography. I inherited it from my father. Pornography addiction, sexual exploitation, you name it. I was trying to use and abuse not only myself, but as many women as I possibly could, racking them up like trophies, until one day God put me on my knees at my worst and lowest point, and he mystically allowed me to understand things that the instant before I had no way of ever acknowledging. For the most part, it had to do with sexual integrity and the desire for it. I never desired it before. I would have argued with you up one side and down another that we were born to lust. But in that moment, on my knees, I realized that I was not born to lust. No, I was created to love. Lust is all about me, myself, and I. Love is about pouring oneself out, to die to oneself, to take up their cross daily out of love for another. And there was a stark difference between those two things. So now I reflect upon my training in the Marine Corps. When you are in an ambush situation, when the enemy has caught you in an ambush and he starts to shoot lead at you downrange, you have a choice. A lot of men hug the ground out of an instinct of fear. Now, every man is afraid. It's not that you're not afraid. It's what you do with the fear. Do you allow it to overwhelm you so that you take no action? Because, brothers in Christ, the Marine Corps teaches that if you are shot at and you take no action, you are a dead man. It is merely just a matter of time before you realize that fact. But you have to take action. If you want to live, choose life, then get up and counterattack with as much ferocity and as much lead as you can throw at your enemy as quickly as possible. And then once you have overwhelmed him, then you break contact, you move away, and you regroup to live to fight another day. This same tactic can be used for your favor and benefit in the spiritual combat. When I realized after that day in 2002, when I had my conversion experience, when I started to reflect, and as I was being formed in the church, that I could use these same tactics to overcome my daily battle with sexual temptation, with lust, because, brothers in Christ, I used to break out in cold sweats and literally shake from having to fight the temptation, because I would find myself in a room with an attractive woman, or in an image on television or on the computer, or I would hear, you know, there was this scandalous conversation on the radio, or I'd be at the checkout stand trying to buy milk and eggs and trying to avoid the fight for my immortal soul because of half-naked pictures of women at the checkout stand. So what am I going to do? Well, brothers, if we know it's coming, we can plan for it. We can prepare for the battle before it ever comes, because we know exactly what will happen. This is the same tactic used by firemen, by police officers, by the military, by doctors, EMTs, by you name it. Everybody trains to retain. They train, they plan ahead, so that when the action comes, when the engagement with the enemy happens, we are not caught off guard. We rely upon our training and we react exactly the way we trained. So what did I do? I knew all the scenarios by which I would encounter temptation and lust. So I immediately said, what I will do is, the minute I feel the temptation to lust, I will immediately evoke Our Lady, the most pure, chaste spouse. Her purity will wash away my lustful desire. So I started to pray Hail Marys at the first instant of trouble, and I continued to pray them until it passed. And it was amazing how well that worked, but it wasn't enough. Then I realized, not only did I have to pray the Hail Mary, but then I had to avert my eyes. The combination of those two did miracles, but that's not enough. I had to engage the enemy, overwhelm him with superior firepower. That was the Hail Mary. Bringing Our Lady into the fight overwhelmed Satan every single time. But then I must break contact and then regroup to live to fight another day. And that's when I would remove myself from the situation in which I encountered the lust and the temptation. So I use these combat tactics for the spiritual combat, and I have found great success. But John Paul II, in his book on love and responsibility, especially in the section on shame and countenance, makes this clear. Brothers in Christ, it is not good enough that you merely practice these disciplines. They will not do the trick completely. They are good and you must do them, but they are not by themselves enough. You must take it one step further. And what is that? You must remind yourself at that very instant when the most ferocious fire is coming down upon you and you're feeling just so driven and drawn to lust and sexual temptation, you must remind yourself that that person whom you are using in your mind is not born to be a commodity for your personal gratification. That is a child of the Most High God. She is a sister of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. She was born to be respected and revered and to be loved, not lusted, used, and abused. If you remind yourself, Pope John Paul II said, if you remind yourself of the dignity of this person at this critical moment, you will win every single time. That's the bottom line. That's how you can choose to fight, because it's heaven or hell. God loves you so much that he's willing to allow you to go away and die in your lust and burning hell for all eternity if that's what you choose. But he loves you so much more than that, that he's trying to transform you through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, to transform you into what you were created to be, a man after his own heart, born to love, to take up your cross every single day, to die to self, to sacrifice yourself so that your spouse, your children, your parents, your siblings, your neighbors, your coworkers will be with you in heaven on that faithful day when you look God in the eye and said, I accomplished the mission by which you sent me to accomplish. As our Lord says, I have done what you sent me to do. It's easier said than done, but together, brothers, we can do it. All right, well, that's my 10 minutes. That's my short spiel. So I'm hoping now that instead of going directly into a Q&A, that we can go into Mark's section and then into Dave's section, and then we'll save the last part of the call for Q&A, some wrap-up announcements, and then closing prayer. Mark, how about you take it away?
Great, Joe. Thank you. That was great. And I don't know about anybody else on this call, but I'm inspired to go out there and fight evil in my own life and help my brothers. And I pray, brothers, once again, that on this feast of St. Luke, known as a doctor, that the divine physician will help us in our personal battle against sexual impurity and our habitual sins that any of us might be doing, whether it's sexual integrity or any other vice. But, gentlemen, I'd like to tell you a little bit about self-mastery. I was just up in New York City, Queens, as a matter of fact, last night, and I delivered an hour-long talk on self-mastery. I'm going to condense this, as Joe has asked, to about 10 minutes. And I think it's a good reflection for all of us to think about as we try to address these issues in our life, men. We really have to examine the choices we're making, and there's a very simple formula, brothers, towards being set free from sexual impurity and achieving sexual integrity, but it requires a lot of work. But let's begin with what the Catechism says about self-mastery. Self-mastery on paragraph 2342, I'm not going to read a lot from the Catechism because it can get a little heady, but this is pretty simple. Self-mastery, brothers, is a long and exacting work. One can never consider it acquired once and for all. It presupposes renewed effort at all stages of life. That's it. Long and exacting work. One can never consider it acquired once and for all, and it presupposes renewed effort at all stages of life. Now, if you're anything like me, if there's any perfectionist on the phone, hearing the words long and exacting work can be pretty deflating. Because we want it now, don't we? We want to fix the problem now or yesterday. And so for the guy that isn't the perfectionist, he can take great comfort into that, knowing that God is patient and this is going to take time. And we really need a combination of both, don't we? We really need to have a sense of urgency about us men, that this is not something we want to wait till Saturday to go to confession to address. If we're in mortal sin today, we need to fix it today or very shortly thereafter. But yet there needs to be as St. Augustine said, the bridle must be put around the throat with moderate looseness and firmness. And so there needs to be an element of balance and patience. So as we transition into how we begin to develop self-mastery, I'd like to just invite you brothers to take the first steps, which I like to call Self-Mastery 101, which is begin with a daily conversation with God. Start praying every day. Now, I don't mean your rote prayers. I mean ask God to help you master your selfish desires today, because at the root of all these sins is selfishness. At the root of masturbation, at the root of any sexual sin is selfishness. And so ask the Lord each and every day, Lord God, grant me the grace to be selfless today, to master my selfish desires this day. And that's it. And see where the conversation goes from there throughout the day. But you got to begin, brothers, to conversate with God. You got to begin to have a conversation that is ongoing throughout the whole day. And obviously, we want to have our devotions. Obviously, we want to have our prayer time, such as our rosary, our mass, adoration. But we want to be talking and communicating with God all day. So I invite you, brothers, if you're not doing that, rather, that you begin and start simple. And then to follow up with that, and again, this is Self-Mastery 101, is you need to take a look at your environment at home. Just look at your apartment, your condo, your house, your workspace, wherever you spend the majority of your time. Is it a chaste environment? Is it a pure environment? If it's not, make it a pure environment. Okay, that means literally ransack the house, get rid of all the impurities, all the softcore porn, all the PG-13 movies, all the things that would titillate you and get you in a state of mind where you want to act out in an impure way. Okay, that's Self-Mastery 101, brother. So your action items there, again, daily conversation, chaste environment in the home. As we move into the second level of self-mastery, as I like to say, 201, we need to start examining our relationships. We need to start examining, are people in our life, are they tearing us down? Are they bringing us to a point, brothers, where they are becoming obstacles to our own growth in virtue and holiness? And so I invite you to answer these questions for yourself. All right, but start with this prayer before you begin to these questions. Let's start with Augustine again. He's the patron of the Kingsmen Apostolate. St. Augustine, he prayed this prayer, and I think it's a great prayer for all of us to try if we've never began to examine ourselves and really identify, who we are. And the question and the prayer rather, brothers, is, Lord, reveal me to myself. Lord, reveal me to myself. That's a simple prayer. That's something I pray every day. Lord, if I am an abuser, reveal that to me. Lord, if I'm addicted to pornography, reveal that to me. Lord, if I struggle with pride, reveal that to me. Lord, if I am uncharitable towards others, reveal that to me. And so these are all related to these acting out moments. If I'm an angry person, Lord, reveal that to me. Oftentimes with sexual impurity and a lack of sexual integrity, there's an anger issue there. Well, I ask you to answer these questions for yourself as you're listening now on this phone conversation. Ask yourself, where do these thoughts in me come from when I fall into chastity, when I act out? Every time you sin against chastity, are you feeling lonely just prior to your fall? Ask yourself that question. Are you feeling unloved by friends or family members and therefore angry as a result? Are you bored and with your life and in need of some excitement or adventure? Whatever your struggle is, you're going to have to answer those questions. And basically they lead you, brothers, to your ritual. They'll lead you to the process, friends, by which you fall. And if you have a yes to those questions, you have to remove those impediments. If it's in your job, is your job a source of added loneliness or frustration? Do your friends contribute to an overall desensitization towards purity? Does your associations with others build virtue or vice? It's important that you seriously reflect on these questions. And again, if you have any yes answers, you need to remove those impediments. You really do. Now, for me, brothers, as we're examining these relationships, again, Self-Mastery 201, the next level here in the growth and self-mastery, is we need to look at ourselves. And for me, 16 years of a porn addict, age 11 to age 26, essentially, I realized that the reason why I was unable to be set free is because I kept saying to myself, I don't need anyone to love me. I can take care of my own needs, and I can conquer my addiction to pornography on my own. In all three statements, I don't need anyone to love me, I can do this on my own, I can take care of my own needs, they're all prideful statements. So brothers, for me and for most men, the root sin is pride. And so I had to start addressing that issue of pride in my life. I had to start humbling myself if I was going to address the lust in my life. And at 26, friends, I started doing that. 7 years later, again, I started doing it. It didn't mean I had to figure it out. 7 years later, I was completely set free from all the attachments. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So this is the second level. Start looking at your workplace, the people you're associating with. Are they tearing you down? Are they bringing you down? Examine yourself. Ask the Lord for self-revelation. Lord, reveal me to myself, as Augustine prayed. And then begin to look at those obstacles. Okay, moving quickly here now. 301, the third level of self-mastery. We have to start thinking about getting ourselves a men's group. I think it's essential for men, and Dave's going to talk about this on this call tonight, and Joe knows the value of this. You got to have a men's group in your life. Men, we need other men. You can't walk the spiritual journey as a man alone. And so I invite you to think about this. If you don't have 5 to 7 men in your life that you can call on a given notice, if you had an issue, if you had a problem, if you were feeling tempted in any way, or you just needed help with something, maybe to move something, furniture or whatever, if you don't have 5 to 7 men you can call on at any given time, any given notice, then you need to seriously get those men in your life. And the way to do that, men, is to be involved in a men's group. And I say 7 men because there's 7 days in a week, and whenever you try to call somebody sometimes, they're not always around, so you got to have the backup. So the King's Men Apostolate, we have developed a program for men that we believe works, that we know works, and there's many programs out there, and in one size doesn't fit all, brothers. But if you'd like to start up your own men's group, we wrote a book to help you. It's called How-To Guide for Building Effective Catholic Men's Groups, The Way of the King's Men. You can get it at kingsmenhandbook.com. But Dave will get into more of that later. Okay, so have a men's group. I got to speed this up. 401, the final level, the towards self-mastery, fasting, fasting, fasting. The Catechism calls it voluntary self denial. And this doesn't have to be food, brothers, but it's certainly the highest form of a fast, in my opinion. You can control the physical appetites of eating. You can master them. Guess what? The sexual appetites are so much easier. There's a greater need, brothers, to eat than there is to have sex. I know that sounds hard to believe, and I know we're on mute, but hopefully you're chuckling to yourself because maybe you thought that sex was your greatest need, but it's not. And so we need to start looking at these things. Maybe we can fast from salt at a meal, or fast from the radio as we're driving in our car, or fast voluntary self-denial from Facebook of all things, or texting on the phone. Hey, maybe driving while texting is something you need to stop doing. It'll probably save your life if you do that. But also, we need to fast from things that are pleasure-seeking, anything that is pleasurable to us. For instance, I was taking a hot shower this morning, but yesterday I decided to take a cold shower. And you know why? You said, why would you do that, Mark? It's fall, it's crisp out, it's cold. You know what? I did it because I can do it. And I did it for 2 to 3 minutes because I wanted to master myself, and I wanted to offer that for someone else too. So these fasts can become offerings for the healing of our spouses, our girlfriends, or any woman we've ever hurt. Heck, if you're single, for your future spouse. And so, men, in closing, to bring this all full circle, and I'll turn it back over to Joe, the Eucharist confession. You got to go to daily mass. You've got to build towards it, men, but that's the goal. That's the goal. We have to get to daily mass. And I know if you're just going to Sunday now, you're probably thinking, Mark, you're crazy. I never go to mass more than once a week. But, men, the goal is daily mass. If you're in Philadelphia like we are, or in Houston where you have a lot of masses available to you, know this. The Catechism says that the Eucharist will help to preserve you from future sins, brothers. You receive the Eucharist in a worthy manner. That is, you're in a state of grace. It'll help to preserve you from future sins. And that's why I say daily mass. I know it's a challenge. But you know what? If you really want this in your life, consider that. And then finally, any time you fall, make the time that you get to confession as close to the time that you fell to zero as possible. That is, if you fall this evening, you're getting to confession this evening or tomorrow morning. Make it as close to zero as possible. You know why? Because you don't want to walk around in mortal sin. It makes it that much easier to fall again, and that is the cycle of addiction, brothers. And finally, I know I'm like the Queen Mary with a bunch of departures here, but this is the final thought, okay? When you have an impure thought come to your mind, when you as a woman that comes to your mind, pull her out of your mind and pray for her in that moment. Lord, I ask you, if she's in the multi-billion-dollar porn industry still, I ask that in this prayer right now, you set her free. This will help to set her free. And watch, brothers, you will transcend that moment, and that will become a moment of intimacy with God. And then as more of those images come, you just pray a Hail Mary for each person. And watch, brothers, that's how I've been able to do it. With all these other things I've been sharing with you, that's how I've been able to find freedom for the last 4 years from the chronic act of masturbation in my life, and certainly with the pornography in my life. So, Joe, thanks for letting me share, and I'll turn it back over to you now.
Praise God. Thank you, Mark. That was great. I thoroughly enjoyed that, and I just want to just reiterate the point of confession. Brothers in Christ, that is the remedy for our sins, is going to the confessional and allowing that priest to give us the opportunity to take away that sin and to allow God to take it off of our shoulders. And if you fear going to the priest to lay out the worst in you, then you are robbing that man of the purpose by which he lives. He is a priest ordained by God. He exists so that he can take away your sins. Don't steal from that man. Go and give him your sin. That's how much God loves you. Mark, thank you. That was a great talk. We're moving now into a section where we're looking at the vision of not only the King's men, but the vision of men coming together to support one another in this fight, to lift one another up. And I just real quick, as an antidote, I remember in my Marine combat training, one of the drill instructors saying, you know, Marines, in Vietnam, every Marine who was stationed at a remote fire base, when the North Vietnamese Army would raid the base and try to overwhelm them with thousands of NVA soldiers, every Marine had to at least kill 30 NVA soldiers. And if you died early, you now left the man next to you in the foxhole, he now has to kill 60 men as a result to your work. That same idea does exist in the spiritual combat. If you fail to do your task, then you are leaving those near and dear to you most vulnerable. The Kingsmen program for groups is going to help in that process, to build this all up, to strengthen us for the fight, and give us more encouragement and more rallying for the call. So without further ado, I want to invite Dave DiNuzzo. Again, he is the newest member of the Kingsmen crew and the founder of TrueManhood.com. He is a wonderful evangelist, and I'm very much looking forward to what he's got to say. Dave, take it away.
Thanks, Joe. It's an honor to be on the call with everybody tonight, and I just want to reiterate, man, everything that Mark said and everything that Joe said at the beginning about this fight that we're in and the necessity that we all have for brotherhood. And so that's where the vision comes in of the Kingsmen. And so it doesn't matter where you are right now, whether you're in the Houston area and able to be a part of the Kingsmen there or possibly in Philly, anywhere you are, we're going to teach you some ways to have a men's group available to you. And that may mean that you are the one who's responsible to get it started. So, but let's just jump into this and the reasons why we have formation groups and what they're going to do for us as men. Essentially, there's a crisis in masculinity in the world today. Men have lost their identity. And as a whole, we are really letting down culture. And we're letting down our spouses, we're letting down our children, and we must make the choice. And that was a very, very important thing that Joe spoke on, was making the choice to step up and do something. There's not two sides in a battle. There's not the neutral party. We can't be Switzerland in this. We have to be either the one who is going to be on the offensive or the one who is getting slaughtered. That is the two options. And so in the battle, we have the need for other men. And those other men in our lives make us better. And we cannot, as Mark said, we cannot do it alone. So the vision of the Kingsmen is to build and unite men in the model of leader, protector, and provider. To lead, protect, and provide, that is what we are all called to. That is what is innate, that's inside of us, that is in our soul, to lead, protect, and provide. And by doing those things, by being a leader, by being a protector, and by being a provider, we can change the crisis in masculinity in the world. We can reverse it and have a resurgence in authentic masculinity. And so by doing so, we can win back our identity as men, we can win back the church, we can win back society. And this seems like a daunting task. But first we have to realize that we do it in our own lives. That's with the integrity that's been mentioned several times. Whether it's sexual sin for you or whether it's another vice, none of us are as virtuous as we need to be. We all have something to work on. By being in a formation group, And using the Kingsmen model, which for years now has proven that it works and that it is a viable way to grow in holiness, by being in that formation group, you are now taking the next step. You are saying, I am standing up. I am fighting. I am not okay with living the life that I had, and I am not okay with staying where I am now. I must get better. I must grow. I must seek more. And so to do that, in the formation groups, there's many things that you'll gain from being in a formation group. But here are a few. By being in a formation group or a men's small group, you're going to have formation. You are going to grow. You're going to learn. You're going to get excitement. You're going to get encouragement. You're going to get many tools to put in your tool bag. You're going to get accountability. And this is a big thing in my life that helped me overcome my addiction to pornography, and that is the accountability. To have another man or many men who are there to go to run to and say, I need your help, brothers. I need you to keep me accountable, to challenge me, to build me up. I need you. And that's not a sign of weakness. And Joe knows this. By being in the military, There is never a soldier who goes out by himself. Never, no soldier does this. You always go out in a team, even a sniper. Even a sniper has his wingman right next to him, who's telling him the distance of the shot, who's telling him where the attackers are, his spotter. Our accountability partners are our spotters. They help us to grow in every level. Whatever it is we're struggling with, whatever it is we're failing with, they are there to fine-tune us, to challenge us, and to keep us on the path towards growth. The other thing that, one of the other things you're going to get from being in a men's group is you're going to be sharpened. Now, the Kingsmen and most other Christian men's groups use a verse, probably my favorite verse in all of Scripture, because of how important it is in my life, how vastly important it is. And that's Proverbs 27:17. And it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So what does this mean? Well, a sword is used for battle. But in order for it to be effective, to be used the way it was created to be used, a sword must be sharp. In order for it to be as effective as possible, it must be sharpened. And so a blacksmith can sharpen it, but it has to be sharpened the correct way. So to go into battle with this weapon that is able to do what it was created to do, you can be an effective warrior. As a man, the only way to be sharpened properly is by other men. And that is what that verse means. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We need men in our lives to hold us up, to challenge us, to make us better. Proverbs 27:17, I suggest that you memorize that and think about it often. Pray about that in your life. Who are the men in your life that are around you now who can sharpen you the way you need to be sharpened? And if you do not have those men, don't let another day go by. We are available to find men in your area or to be an accountability partner for you until you can find that man in your life. And there are men everywhere like us. We're everywhere. It may not feel like that sometimes, but there are men everywhere who want to help each other grow. So a formation group, the Kingsmen model is to come in and pray and to start in prayer, united as men, usually in the rosary, that's what's suggested, to run to Christ's mother, the one who said yes, the one who made the choice, we run to her. It builds us up as men to pray together. It's a very profound thing. And then there's a resource time where men go over a particular masculine resource. It might be Boys to Men, a virtue guide. It might be another book. It might be Wild at Heart. It might be it's whatever your group needs. And we have a list of resources that we can suggest to your group. And then you talk about it, and you help each other grow. This is the sharpening part. This is the daily work, the long and exacting work. This is part of it. And then there's a time for the four C's. The four C's are confess, commit, challenge, and confirm. And those four C's allow a man, whatever his age, whatever his involvement, whatever his knowledge, to be involved in this group and to work specifically on the things in his life that he needs to work on. And so there may be a 22-year-old man there who needs to work on one thing, who's kind of new to the faith, who may not know a lot of catechesis, but he wants to grow as a man. And there could be a senior man there, maybe a 75-year-old man, working on something completely different. But they, together, and with all the men in the group, can grow together to become better men. The four C's, to confess and commit, those two go together. On week one, you're going to commit to something in your life, big or small, that you want to work on, an attainable goal that you're going to grow with and work on each week. And then on week two, you come back and you confess how you did. Now, this is not a confession in the confessional, different kind of confess. You are saying, I did or did not do what I said I would, and I may need to continue to work on it, or I may want to do it again, or I may have done well on that, and I'm going to move on and commit to something else. And so commit and confess. That is putting our faith in action. Not just coming to a men's group to have the bad F-word fellowship. Not just to come to get a pat on the back. This is serious work. This is making the choice to step up in your life and do something to make yourself a better man. Then, if a man in the group thinks that you've done a really good job, maybe you've been working on something for four weeks, and you finally that last week did really good, he can say, you know what, I think you did a great job. And he can confirm that work in you, give you that encouragement you need. Or maybe you've been struggling with something for a long time, and he could say, you know what, maybe that's not the right thing for you, and he can challenge you on that. And all of this takes prudence, and all of this takes wisdom to be able to know what challenge is right and what confirmation is correct. But the point of this meeting is to build each other up and to grow together, each individually where they need to be, but then also as a group to work as a whole on becoming better men. And men, this resurgence, overcoming this crisis in masculinity, if we have groups everywhere that do this, then we will be able to turn the tide. We will be able to change the outlook of our world, which to some of us looks very bleak, but to myself, it looks very promising because there are men on this call now. It could be just us, men, just us, but guess what? There are men everywhere. We unite as a small group, and we grow, and we grow, and we grow because of the life-changing effect that it has on us. One of the other things with a men's group that the King's Men suggest is called activism, is putting your faith into action. And the biggest thing that we do with that is the No More Porn Tour. And here in Colorado Springs, where I am now, we are just getting off the ground with a No More Porn Tour in about two weeks. November 1st is our first No More Porn Tour. And we're going to protest this evil that in so many of our lives has been a devastating, damaging thing. And so wherever you are, you can do this. You get a couple men with you, and you start small. And so I could go on with a lot of things about activism. It's becoming very, very powerful in my life and very encouraging and exciting for me. But I would say if you want some resources on how to start a group, Mark mentioned the handbook. We can get some of those to you. We can direct you to them again. I'll just leave you with this. I'm going to challenge every man tonight on this call, no matter where you are, no matter your age, your education level, whether you're single, married, father, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you are. I challenge you tonight to get involved with a men's group in your area. If you don't have a men's group, let's help you start one. And so let's at the end, maybe, guys, we can give some contact information, how they can get a hold of us. So I'll just leave you with that challenge. Do something in your life.
Outstanding, Dave. Thank you so much for sharing that. That was some great information. We're going to get into the Q&A session, and then as we get to the end, we'll reiterate some contact information and get some brief announcements, things like that. But outstanding direction and vision for the King's Men, and I am sincerely praying that we see an uptick in men's groups all over the country. I have seen an uptick in men's ministry in general, but I am particularly fond of the King's Men, so I'm a little biased in that regard. Well, here are some simple rules for the Q&A session. As I said at the beginning of the call, all calls are muted at this point. If you have a question or a comment or something along those lines, we're going to ask you to do a couple things. To unmute your call, you simply hit *6, and you will be unmuted. When you come off, if we're in the middle of a question, wait for the break and then announce yourself. Tell us who you are. If you want to stay anonymous, that's fine to stay anonymous. But if you could tell us maybe what city you're in, that would give us an idea of where the brothers are around the United States or even beyond possibly. And then obviously tell us who the question is directed to and then give us the question. So those are the very simple rules. So let me reiterate, to unmute your call, you hit *6. Tell us who you are, where you're from. Tell us who the question is for, and then give us the question. Well, as we wait for brothers to consider asking some questions, I have some questions for you guys, and hopefully it'll spur the conversation. First, I want to talk to Mark. Mark, you talked about the levels of self-mastery, and one of the things you said really struck a vein with me, and that was about cleansing our environment. Now, I remember when I was going through my conversion experience and that period of time after my mystical experience and having to go through that. And I struggled a bit with, oh, my, you know, I really liked to listen to, you know, morning radio shows like the Howard Stern Show and all that. I was into all of that, hard rock music and the like, and just explicit material everywhere I turned in my life. And I had to make some decisions, and it wasn't always easy. Can you expound upon that? I mean, really. How radical do you expect this to be? Do we have to really get rid of everything?
Good question, Joe. Thanks for saying that. It's a good starting point here. Yeah, we're talking about, eliminating anything that is a near occasion for sin for us. It could be anything. But, I can't tell one man what his trigger is going to be. But for the most part, we need to look at the things that are desensitizing us. You talk about Howard Stern. That's a good way to desensitize yourself to, language, inappropriate behavior regarding just the opposite sex and how we're looking at the opposite sex. So I think that's a great example of one thing to eliminate, because if you start embracing some of the mindset of Howard Stern, that it's very easy to fall into that, and you couple that with your friends. So let's break this down to two simple areas. You know, the hard materials, the magazines, the videos, the music, the alcohol, the tobacco possibly, who knows. But anything that is this trigger for you, whether it's for me it was Maxim magazine, it was Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition. I didn't have hardcore pornography. PG-13 movies, those that just titillated you, that got you, thinking about more than just, what you're seeing on the screen. Lingerie, my sister had a Victoria's Secret membership, catalog rather, things like that. So you get the idea on that level. When it comes to the relationships in our home life, are you living with somebody who's a roommate who's just a womanizer? I mean, that's going to beat you up on an emotional level if you're seeing someone bringing women in the house that are, one night stands. I don't know what situation we're talking about here for someone, but basically, though, you want to make your environment where you're living, whether it's the hard stuff, the hard magazines, or the intangible stuff like, the relationships, the extended families through talk radio and things like that. You want to start looking. Am I becoming desensitized to the dignity of the human person? And I think when you think of John Paul II, you think of the theology of the body, he always was talking about the dignity of the human person. So ask yourself this question, Joe, for the men on the call. Is what I'm looking at, listening to, thinking about, or reading, is that material causing me to have a disrespect or a lack of respect, rather, for the dignity of the human person? And I think if you begin there, you can really differentiate, okay, this has got to go, this can stay. But basically, in a nutshell, all R-rated movies got to go. All R-rated movies, unless it's The Passion of the Christ or maybe The Band of Brothers, the documentary. But other than those two films, I think you get the idea.
You got to make a choice. Heaven or hell, what's it going to be? That was how drastic I had to have it for my life. And so I had to cut off practically everything, maybe that's just how I'm built, but it's all or nothing for me. But, and over time it gets easier and all of that, but it was a drastic change to be sure. Thanks, Mark, for that. Are there any questions from our listeners at this point? All right. Well, I got another question for Dave this time. Dave, you talked about accountability. And this is a topic that I've been able to share with many men that I work with or talk with or share with or hang out with here, either over the internet or in person in Houston. And this question comes up a lot. I know a lot of guys, when they realize the desperate need that they have to get out of this vicious cycle of pornography addiction, sexual exploitation, One thing their wives tend to not know yet, or they haven't found out, or they don't know how deep they're in or whatever. And so there's this hesitancy to tell the wife. And I say quite boldly and bluntly, you've got to tell her. You'd rather her know from your mouth than from the wrong way, because I lived that experience and it was devastating. And so I always say that our covenant partner is our best accountability partner. Getting her to pray for us, to work in our favor, to help check us and making sure we're doing the right thing, I think is one of the best tools that's worked in my own life. But Dave, what do you say? What about having the wife, if you're married, if the man is married, having the wife as the accountability partner?
Well, great question, Joe, and I get this question quite often as well. My thought is, the wife is the helpmate. We want to be careful to not scandalize the wife, the spouse, because this for men is a separate issue than most women are going to deal with. Now, there's an increase in women who are becoming addicted to pornography, masturbation as well, and all kinds of sexual immorality. But for men, I really challenge a man to have another brother, a brother who he can go to with everything. You know, and I think priests, I've heard it on both sides, you know, tell the spouse, don't tell the spouse. I know in my own life, I was able to share with my then new girlfriend, my wife now, Catherine. When we started dating, I said, hey, listen, I gotta tell you some stuff, and I need you to make a decision whether you can accept this from me or not. And, you know, I just laid it out on the line, and I just said, this is something that has been a major crutch in my life. It's been a major source of struggle, and, you know, I am constantly every single day working on this, making the choice to get better and holding it in prayer and growing, and I need you to know that right now. And so she said, wow, nobody's ever done that with me before, but it's good to know that. And, you know, I'm going to be here to help you in whatever way. And that was the way it worked out for us. Now, if a man is in a marriage and maybe he didn't know that this was a sin, maybe he didn't know that pornography and masturbation on a sin level was bad. He knew in his heart that this was disgusting and horrible and he didn't like it. We all know that hatred resides in us even though we're still drawn to it. I really suggest that he gets a man, and that he gets a brother that he can be 100% honest with, open and honest with him, and help him to sharpen himself. And if he is married and it comes out, I think a man needs to get some spiritual direction, and he needs to get some real counsel on whether or not to share this with his wife. It could be devastating to her, and it could be a real, real problem in the marriage. I mean, it's going to be a problem in the marriage. You know, the man who is going to be addicted to this, he's going to be selfish. He's going to make the choice to choose himself over his wife and his children. I think just in the end, it's better to have a man. The wife can know at the right and proper time, but I always suggest that it's a man.
Outstanding. Thanks, Dave. Are there any questions from any of our listeners at this point? Just to remind you, if you have a question, hit *6 to unmute your call. Tell us who you are. You can say anonymous if you'd like. If we prefer to hear at least where you're from, tell us who the question is for, and then give us the question. So are there any questions from the audience at this point?
I got a question, Kevin in Houston.
Hey, Kevin, thanks for joining the call.
Top of the day to you guys. So you went over something real quick. This is a simple one, but what were the four C's again?
Is this for Mark?
Yeah, Mark.
Kevin? Okay.
I think that was Dave's, you know, area of expertise, so I'll let Dave answer that.
Sure. The four C's: confess, commit, challenge, and confirm. Would you like me to explain those again, or just the?
Yes, please. Just to recap those quickly.
Sure. So confess and commit are going to go hand in hand. You're going to commit to doing something each week. And then the next week you're going to come back and you're going to confess how you did with that task or that to-do. And you're going to then commit to another thing. And then the next week come back and confess to that. And that's an ongoing cycle. You're continually committing to something new. And then if a man in the group decides to confirm a man, to give him encouragement and to tell him he did a good job, he can then confirm the man. If a man in the group wants to challenge, and this can be a shaky area, if he wants to challenge the man, maybe a guy has been committing to something that's been too easy in his life, and he comes back and says, yep, I did that, but he keeps choosing that as his new commit each week, a guy can say, when it's right, he can say, you know what, maybe that's not enough. Now, this is not a chance for a man to come in and tell a guy what he needs to do in his life. For a guy to challenge another man, for one man to challenge another man, it has to be done in the spirit of charity and in the spirit of brotherhood to help the man grow. So be careful with how you challenge and who you challenge and when you challenge. It should be a prompting of the Holy Spirit, and you should definitely think it through before you say it. It's not just – and this is something that can happen. I got challenged, so I'm going to throw that challenge back at the other guy who challenged me. And that's not at all what's intended to do. It is intended to help us grow and to sharpen us even that much better.
Great, thanks.
You got another question, Kevin?
I do, actually, and that is chicken or the egg thing. So I can create this, I can see this vision of a working small group of men. The logistics maybe of getting it going, how many to start with, what kind of support you get from a parish, or do you make these out beyond the parish? Talk with me a little about the logistics of how you get this ball rolling.
Dave, I think that's another question for you.
Sure. Great question. It is all spelled out in the Way of the King's Men, the how-to guide. And, Mark, what is that website again?
KingsmenHandbook.com. You can purchase it there.
And that's going to lay out the history of the King's Men and then all of the how-tos of each step of creating a men's group. You know, the first men's group started with three guys, and they met weekly. And it's good, it's best if there's, you know, a couple of you. A few of you. But it can start small, and three guys is great. And if it's two guys right now, maybe you just get together and you're doing accountability and you're praying together and you're praying that men will come into your life to be welcomed in and invited in to this men's group. We don't want the group to get too big. So once the group gets up to 10 or 12 guys, we're going to need to think about splitting that group up, because once it comes to the four C's and the sharing, there's simply not enough time, and the meeting shouldn't go more than 2 hours. That's the max. But again, the how-to guide is going to help you learn this model that works. Please don't invent the wheel or reinvent the wheel here. The Kingsmen model is great. It drew me in, and I'm excited about this model in my life. And don't get discouraged on numbers. Obviously, we want everybody to get this. We want everybody to understand. We want every man everywhere to be growing, to become a better man, a better son, a better husband, father, employee, whatever. We want that. But don't get discouraged if the group remains small for a while.
Outstanding. Thank you, Dave. Thank you very much, Kevin, for the call. Are there any other questions for our speakers tonight? Anything else from the audience? The last question that I had, actually, Kevin asked, so he stole it away, and Dave did a great job answering, and that was just on the number, what's the magic number to begin a group? And, you know, in Houston, it's tough. We had a group going, and we've waned it quite a bit, and one of the biggest challenges I found here in Houston was the geographical size of the city. We had guys from all parts of the city, and it became very difficult to find that magic time and location where it just benefited everybody. And so in the interim, what I've done is I always make myself available as best I can to meet with a guy one-on-one. We tend to go to lunch, we sit down, we'll talk, we'll pray, and I find that, you know, just a great opportunity to not only to be a tool at the hand of the Holy Spirit for someone else, but also it builds me up, it encourages me in the fight too. So I love doing that. So for anybody in the Houston area who needs that, please contact me. You can get my information at CatholicHack.com, and you can email me, and we'll exchange information, and we'll go from there. But let's go ahead and wrap up the call tonight. Mark and Dave, thank you so much for being on the call tonight and sharing all that you had. This was really a great opportunity to discuss those topics that we strive for every day, and that's sexual integrity, to be the man God created us to be champions in our environments for Jesus Christ, His church, and the Holy Spirit. So without further ado, I'd like to, before we get to contact information, just make a couple of brief announcements. We have two events coming up in the Houston area that I want to invite everybody to. October 30th is the Catholic Men's Conference. It's going to be at the Catholic Charismatic Center. For more information, you can log on to mensdayofprayer.org or send me an email at catholichack@gmail.com, and I will give you all the information you want. It's going to be a great event, and I'm going to be there, and I would love to see you there too. And then, of course, there's the Fullness of Truth Catholic Evangelization Ministry Conference. It's coming up November 20th and 21st at the Intercontinental Hotel in Houston. It's on. It's called Winning the Culture War. It's called Living Your Faith in a Modern Culture. So seeking the good, the true, and the beautiful, another great opportunity to bring the entire family. You can find more information on that at www.fullnessoftruth.org. Mark and Dave, why don't you go ahead, give us some brief last comments and give us some contact information for anybody who wants to reach out to you.
Sure. Well, thanks again, Joe, and thank you, men, for joining us tonight. And well, my information, everything can be found at thekingsmen.org. Again, that's www.thekingsmen.org, and you can get my email and phone information there. But, men, I just want to encourage you and share something that I shared with Joe a while back, and I think it's something we all need to keep in mind as we address these issues in our life. You know, we have a lot to be ashamed of. We have a lot to feel guilty about, and I think there's quite a confusion about shame and guilt, and I think we need to set the record straight here sometimes because it can get a little confusing for us, and we can start thinking that have a theology that, you know, we really truly don't have as Catholics, which is that we're worthless and we're wretches. But the reality is we're not. We're made in the image and likeness of God. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, as Psalm 139 says. And so we are inherently good. And so to have the attitude of shame, which is the attitude that I am something bad, that is not the proper attitude as we approach these things. As we approach virtue and chastity, we need to have the attitude that I've done something bad, that if I've acted out in a sexually impure way, that I've done something bad, not that I am something bad. And I think if you're in that self-loathing, as you know, that attitude of I'm worthless, I'm unlovable, that's a recipe, Joe, as you know, and I know Dave knows, for staying in your addiction. So that's my final thought.
Great. I want to say thanks again to Joe for organizing the call tonight and for all the guys spending time with us tonight. I hope it was helpful. Please don't think that this is going to be enough for you in your battle. This can be the start, and this can be the beginning of your battle plan. Man, everything that Joe said about battle and war, that is what we're in. And you can either choose to deny that, as I did for many, many years, or you can make the choice to join the battle and join the fight, and that's what I encourage everybody to do. It's going to be tough work. Being a soldier is not easy, but in the end, true happiness, true freedom from the sin in our lives is such a great thing, and I really encourage you to fight for that. Really fight for yourself, fight for your future, and fight for your salvation, and that's going to be a battle worth fighting. To reach me, you can go to www.truemanhood.com, and all my contact information is on there as well. And I welcome anybody to send an email, find me on Facebook or whatever. And if you need help, I just suggest that if you do not have a brother today, find a brother as soon as possible. If you need a brother today, email me, and I can be your brother until you find somebody in your area. But just thanks again, guys, for joining us, and keep fighting the battle.
It's Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron. Brothers in Christ, form your group. Get with your group. Bond together and be that strength for one another, that we might go out and we might fight this fight, not alone, but together. This is the call. It's the King's Men, and we've only just begun to fight. Please look for more of these in the very near future as we hope to make this a regular effort. But to close us up, Dave, would you please lead us in prayer?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your love, the gift of your sacrifice, for the many things we have in life, Lord. Help us, Lord, to set our eyes on you, to set our whole life towards you, and that the goal in our life may be to be as your son, to be a virtuous man, to be a true man. Lord Jesus, we ask you to protect us, guide us, encourage us, send your spirit on us, that we may fulfill the call that we all have, to fulfill the thing that we were created to do, to serve and love you, Lord, and to be united with you in heaven, and to bring those closest to us to heaven as well. And Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity to share your love with men. Unite us and build us, strengthen us. If a man tonight, Lord, is questioning his involvement, give him the strength he needs. If a man has been lax and uninvolved, give him the strength for that, Lord. Lord Jesus, raise us up as men in America, in the church universal, to build your church, to reclaim masculinity, and to bring others to you, Lord. We thank you, and we ask your mother to intercede for us. Mary, most holy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, brothers, and thank you to all who joined us tonight. Again, we will prepare the MP3 for download, and we'll send out the information through Facebook, the website, my site, so hopefully you'll see it in many ways. Until next time, God bless you, brothers, and we'll see you.